o'clock sharp on a Tuesday morning. Sefer HaMitzvot 191, the Meshuach Milchama.
Okay. So we had been doing, when we were going in order, a bunch of war-related Amalek, Zayin Amim, suing for peace and war. We did a bunch of war-related things, and this is part of it. This is part of it. The mitzvah of Meshuach Milchama. But it's a very, very strange mitzvah, and in fact, when you read the psukim, you could have completely missed the fact that there's a mitzvah of a Meshuach Milchama. We want to focus more on, you know, what's the mitzvah about, and what does it mean to us. Okay, so I want to spend time looking at the psukim together. It's the first eight psukim of Parashat Ki Tetzé, and I challenge you. I think if you just read the psukim, I don't think you think of the Meshuach Milchama as being the key part of the mitzvah, but the idea behind it is being more important. So let's see what it says. Says the Torah in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Chaf, the beginning of the Parashat Ki Tetzé, Ki Tetzé la Milchama al Oyevecha. When you go out to war against your enemies, v'ra'ita sus v'rechev, you see, you know, literally a horse and chariots, but in our case, you know, tanks and artillery and whatever, you know, an air force. Am ravcha. The assumption is, objectively, they have more; they're better. Says
that's the Jewish inferiority complex.
That's the Torah. Am rav mimcha. Lo tira mehem. Don't fear them. By the way, that could have been the mitzvah, and maybe that it really is a mitzvah, not to fear them. Says the pasuk, Ki Hashem Elokecha imach hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because it's not your army against their army, it's Hashem Elokecha imach. Now, what's hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim? I know who Hashem is. Ki Hashem Elokecha imach. The pasuk could have ended there. I think this is a question that can be asked in many, many places in the Torah. When it refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim, there must be a reason. Because it's God, Hama'alcha Me'eretz Yitzrayim. What do you think?
Well, he's the God that does miracles. And
but more than that. Who had a bigger army? The slaves or Egypt? I think pshat is that he is the God, Hama'alcha Me'eretz Yitzrayim, meaning don't worry about how it looks on the battlefield, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to win a war with a bunch of unarmed slaves. He could do it for you. Okay? Now, so far, so good. Now we get to the mitzvah part. V'haya kikaravchem el hamilchama. As you get closer to war, and here, the Mefarshim all say, what does it mean, kikaravchem el hamilchama? It's more or less, you know, if you saw videos, like there's like a staging point, right? You're not at the war, but you're at the border and you're gonna go. Okay, so as you're about to go, v'nigash hakohen v'diber el ha'am. This is now, you know, the narrow mitzvah. The kohen gets up, and we'll see when we look at it more closely in the halacha. This guy is the Meshuach Milchama. Okay, he has a unique status in halacha. This is his job. Okay, but he is just we should be aware, he's not just anybody. The person who's about to make this speech is what's called the Meshuach Milchama, and this speech and what comes out of it is going to be the mitzvah, the oraisa of the Meshuach Milchama. Okay, so far all we know is that he's a kohen. What does he say? Pasuk Gimel, Va'amar Aleihem Shema Yisrael. Hey, Mefarshim, again, don't think that that phrase is a coincidence. Shema Yisrael is a loaded phrase. Atem krevim hayom la milchama al oyivechem. You are approaching war today with your enemies. That's the second time we saw that. Al oyivecha, al oyivechem. Again, Mefarshim point out that this is a big deal. You're fighting your enemies.
Al yeira. Hey, Mohammed,
excellent. So we have to talk at some point about, that's a big machlokas. Are we talking in the context of a Milchames Mitzvah? Are we talking in the context of a Milchames Harishos? That's a very, very important question. I would say, as you read the Psukim, ask yourself, what do you think? Right, that's the only way we could resolve the halach. So he gets up and he says, Al yeirach levavchem, don't let your hearts become soft. Al tiru, don't fear, va'al tachbezu, don't be worried, va'al ta'artzu mipneihem. Not sure exactly, there are a bunch of synonyms. You know, don't be afraid, don't be cowardly, don't be scared. Why not?
Be prepared.
Not, why not? Ki Hashem Elokechem haholechi machem lehi lachem lachem moivechem lo shia aschem v'nomar amen. Okay, why do we know that pasuk? Because they don't make up new tefillos. They take existing psukim. That's in the tefillah l'shlam hamdina. Ki Hashem Elokechem, oh, that's the tefillah l'chayalei tzal, I guess. Ki Hashem Elokechem. Moshe Rabbeinu has nothing to do with this. He speaks.
Hashem said this.
Right.
Who heard that? Whom did he say to?
So it's not a quote. That's a good point. It's not a quote. The Mashiach Milcha. Look, who said it? God said it. It's in the Torah. He's reading a pasuk in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, maybe. That's a medrash. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So it's a fair question, but it's not a fair question. Okay? God says the mitzvah is, you know, who said Ulekachtem Lachem Bayim Rishon Pri Eitz Hadar? God. Who said Ki Hashem Elokechem Ha'olechim Lachem Li Lachem Lachem Oivechem Lashi Aschem? God. Okay? So, on some level, I broke this into three. This is the first part of the speech. There is a mitzvah saseh min haTorah for somebody called the Mashuach Milchama to get up. And what kind of speech is he giving?
A pep talk.
Huh?
A pep talk.
He is, you know, if you... I'm embarrassed to say I just saw this because it's, you know, sometimes like you go on YouTube for like a good reason and you'll end up watching a clip from like Braveheart. So, you know, he's the guy running in the horse in front of all the troops going, yeah, you know.
They may take our lives, but yes, they will never take our freedom.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly right. So, it's a pep talk. He is standing up in front of everybody and saying, it may not look good, maybe it looks like they have more troops, maybe it looks like they have more weapons, it doesn't matter. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our side, and therefore, you may not fear. Before you go, now let's go back to your question. Milchemes mitzvah, milchemes harishus. At this point, what would you say?
Well, why isn't any attack
can't
on
tell.
The homeland?
Hmm?
Can't tell.
Yeah.
Can't tell. But say more than that. Can't tell. Why not? I say both.
Say what you're fighting for.
I say you're going out to war. A guy's standing in front of you, telling you, "Don't fear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on your side." If you ask me, I would do it every single time there's a battle. It seems like the right thing to do. We believe that we're fighting in God's name. We'll come to this. We believe we fight in God's name in the Milchemes Mitzvah. We believe that we fight in God's name in the Milchemes Harishus. So if you ask me, it's absolutely the case that the pasuk doesn't relate to what type of war. My feeling is, again, without knowing anything, my feeling is it must be all wars. It makes complete sense for somebody to stand up. Now, you could say that maybe in the Milchemes Mitzvah, you know, the rules are more rigid. And it's fine to make a speech whenever you do it. You can make a speech before a basketball game. It's not a mitzvah. It's a smart thing to do to get people excited. Before you have any group activity, you can make a speech. Who knows? Yes?
Does this suggest any Kohen or Kohen Gadol, or is it specifically this? I mean, Hanuman is a special Kohen. There may never be a war.
I'll show you.
He's appointed and he has nothing to do.
I'll show you. Okay. So he has a day job. I don't know. It's a fair question, but there's a thing called, you know, it says V'nigash HaKohen. So you could say, V'nigash HaKohen means any Kohen. We'll see that that's not the case. Okay?
Or even a Kohen Gadol. I mean, it's just one of his duties.
Right, but the fair reading is that the Torah knows how to describe a Kohen Gadol. I would just say, the simple reading, V'nigash HaKohen, you know, you would have to find another place in the Torah.
It's legal now.
These are like shells.
Ha-Kohen.
You
could say, but I don't think the Torah uses it elsewhere.
Is that the same word for the Kohen who burns the red?
No, because that's any Kohen, right? No. Okay, now that's the first part.
We're getting there.
So now, what I did here, because I like to make it easier, and I have excellent teaching skills. I broke this into three because the Rambam sees it as three different parts of a mitzvah. So we just finished the first part. The first part is the pep talk. Okay, very, very vague, but very, very inspirational. You're not allowed to be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all these things for us. He's going to continue doing them. Now, second part. Pasuk Hey. V'dibru hashotrim el ha'am lemar. So what's the first thing you notice? Apparently, the job is now spilled over to somebody else. Now there's v'dibru hashotrim. We'll see that for some reason halacha doesn't think that that's the case. But v'dibru hashotrim el ha'am lemar. Mi ha'ish asher bana bayit chadash v'lo chanacho. Who is the man who built a new house but hasn't yet lived in it? Yelech v'yashov leveito. He doesn't have to go to war. He's allowed to go home. Pen yamut b'milchama v'ish acher yachnechenu. Because maybe he'll die in the war and somebody else will get to live in his house.
What if he built but didn't get all his permits in?
Vav. Same thing. Second example. Umi ha'ish asher nata kerem v'lo chilulo. Who is the man, if there's such a person, who planted a vineyard but didn't yet get a chance to benefit from it? Yelech v'yashov leveito. He gets to go home. Pen yamut b'milchama v'ish acher yechalaleno. Because maybe he'll die in the war and somebody else will get to eat the grapes. Last example. Umi ha'ish asher eras isha v'lo lekacha. Who married a woman but didn't consummate his marriage or didn't get to live with her? Yelech v'yashov leveito. He can go home. Pen yamut b'milchama v'ish acher yikachana. So first, just an admission.
Is there a minimum amount of months or year?
Yeah, we think it's a year. But let me say this. When you want to know, you're going to ask me questions I'm not going to know the answer to. I'm going to raise questions I don't know the answers to. And there's something we should acknowledge. The Rambam, you want to know how... Here, let me ask a question. Are these three the entirety of the people who get exemptions to go home? Right? Three, right? Yeah. Built a house, planted a vineyard, got married.
No,
could they, is this it? Or are these kind of, examples of a bigger group? So let me say right now, I don't really know the answer. But in my defense, I don't really know the answer because this is a forgotten area of halacha. It's just when you look at the development of halacha, it's very fascinating. The Rambam came, he was the... there are Gemaros, there are Mishnayos, there's a whole parak of Mishnayos on this. But when you want to know how we paskin, it's just an interesting thing. So the Rambam came in 1160, 1190, I forget exact when, and he wrote the Yad HaChazaka, which codified everything. Okay? And that included a thing called Hilchot Milachim Umilcham Tehem, and their wars. And so if you want to go any place to look for the laws of war, you look there. Then came, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, who said, there's way too much stuff in here. We don't need halachas of Beis HaMikdash. They don't apply. We don't need halachas of war. So they limited halacha. And no one else wrote on halachas about war until when?
Chief Rabbi.
1948. No. Well, Chafetz Chaim wrote about going to the Tsar's army. He had a thing about that. But in terms of Hilchos Malachim, there is a huge gap. Right? There's not a single... What constitutes the corpus of halacha, for the last 1,000 years?
Response.
The answer is almost always response to literature. Response to literature responds to questions. No Jew in Poland or in White Russia or in Satmar had a halacha lemaisa question about going to a Jewish army. Right? It just never existed. So I'm admitting to, it's fascinating that basically you go from the late 1100s to the middle of the 20th century, without a single halacha being written about these areas. And now the halacha is still being established because, you know, there's no tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, and there's no tshuva of the Nodeb Yehuda, and there's nothing from the Mechaber, and there's nothing from the Ramah. It's just left open to poskim nowadays. So I poked around a little bit. I'm telling you now, I don't know the answer to the question of whether these are the only three examples, or these are three examples that represent something. I would say the wife thing seems unique, okay? The house thing a little bit, but the grapes? You know, don't go to war because someone's going to eat your grapes. So, you know,
also
you could suggest...
Also others.
Yeah, left out being fearful.
I mean, Rashi brings right away why next to in Tachat Ayin, because if you're missing a...
No, but those...
That's another reason.
Those aren't loopholes. Who wants to go to war with a blind guy? That's not like Chiddush HaTorah, that you're missing your arms. You know, you don't go to war. Huh? We didn't get up to that yet. That's not... These are technical exemptions. Right? This isn't I'm incapable of fighting.
Right.
I am the strongest, most powerful, most confident, most fearless warrior ever. I got grapes I got to eat. Right? What? My grapes. So, one suggestion, I'm suggesting it, but I have no idea that it's true and I can't defend it, is could that be an example of I started a business? I don't know. The grape things I got, you know, the house thing I'm sympathetic to, the wife thing for sure.
I think it's an example.
Okay, so you're saying it must be a bigger idea.
Are you saying that if you ate some grapes while hanging out with your wife and while finishing your house, sleeping that night, that therefore you're
your life.
But now you have
except in your life, you're under a tree and a woman in a toga is giving you the grapes.
No, you did these things once at home.
No, so
now you don't get
no. So again, the answer is more or less a year, not just for the wife thing. But it's weird. Also, you go like, there's a war coming. I'm going to go outside and plant a vineyard, you know, because that way I don't get to go.
No,
I have to
see.
Huh?
How
long does it take for a vineyard to grow? Yeah. Okay.
I think the Jews did this in the Vietnam War.
And anyway, you've got our lush.
In Canada.
Okay. Anyway, I'm raising the issue. I don't know the answer. The other thing that's always bothered me, and is, if you told me, okay, who's the man who got married and didn't get to live with his wife? We're going to let him go home to live with his wife. That seems great. But the Torah says no. The reason isn't so he can live with his wife. It's ve'isha cher yikachana. You know, somebody else is going
to
eat my grapes.
So he
like
to live with your wife.
It leaves with a very negative taste,
can't
right?
He,
that like again,
can't his wife,
you
huh?
Put
his wife watch over the vineyard until he's done.
Yes.
You put effort.
Ve'ish a great. So you want to have it, but what's the what? It sounds like selfish. Ve'isha cher yichalena. That's the problem. Ve'isha cher yachnechena. I don't know. I have to tell you the truth. If God forbid, you know, something happens to me, I want my wife to remarry. Well, I'm terrified that somebody.
That's not the point. They want you to get the fruits of your labor, literally and figuratively.
I agree with you completely. All I'm pointing out.
You put your back into.
I'm with you.
You
I'm with you.
Years.
Great. So let it
what
say.
Mi
aish asher bana bayit chadash v'lo chanachol yelech v'yashov v'vayto pen yamut b'milchama. Then you'd be right. We want this guy to benefit from it. What's the need for v'ishacher yachnechanu?
Move into your house. 2 weeks later, if there's a war, that's a different story. You have to go to war. But the idea that you can't even move into your house, you've been waiting a year for your house to be built, you know.
Great. You're not responding to my point.
Marry your wife.
You're not responding to
no,
my
I
point.
No, I am, because the idea is you should go to war as a married man.
Great.
Well, two weeks after you got married,
I'm with you.
They
what?
Take you to war.
Great.
But the idea that you'll go to war just as an engaged man,
right?
And in the end, you won't even marry her.
Right.
Some other guy's going to come in. Yeah, that's
maybe you'll be distracted.
So maybe the answer is it's not any guy; it's the guy next to me who's going to get my wife or get my house. Or that's all I could come up with. It's not narrow-minded because I don't think the Torah thinks that way. You know that we're jealous of other people and therefore. I think the point is it undermines morale.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going, you know, who volunteers to lead the troops? And, you know, you're looking around. If I volunteer, he's going to get my wife. It's 50-50. I'm going to get killed if I'm the first one in line.
Well, that can still happen if you're married.
Of course. But you're more sensitive to, this is your point, you can't take both sides. You know, what? Right? Okay, you're ready, you know. If something happened to me, right? First of all, will you all come to the funeral? Okay, good.
I'm we'll get you away.
Nobody's
get
what?
I'm a
so you stay outside. Don't be so selfish. Okay. Presumably, the focus of the Hespedim won't be, you know, oh, he didn't have a chance. He's married and long enough. No one's going to feel bad for me because I'm. There is a sense, you know, when a newlywed, God forbid, passes away or dies in an accident, that like it's a greater tragedy because he didn't have that much time with his wife. It's true. But, you know, again, so you have these three objective, this is part two of the speech, three objective examples, right? Wife, house, grapes, where you get to go home. Now, Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Arishus. Second part of the speech, which way are you moving closer to?
Well, certainly the
Mitzvah. No, I'm sorry, Rishus. Because
Melchemes
Mitzvah, everybody has to go. So now that you know, you do start getting the sense that maybe either we were wrong or it's a different part of the speech applied to a different situation. Mm-hmm. And now you have to the third part. Here, they are technical exemptions that don't relate to how firm you are, that don't relate to how much you believe in God, that don't relate to how confident you are or how cowardly you are. They are technical exemptions. Now we come to the third part. Pasuk Chet. The Yasifu HaShotrim, and also you get the sense this is a separate part. The Yasifu HaShotrim, this Shotrim, add. L'daber al ha'am v'amaru. Mi ha'ish ha'yarei v'rach ha'levav. Who is, let's call a spade, who is a coward? Yelech v'yashov leveto, he should go home. Velo yimas et levav echav ki levavo, and he won't. One second, let me do it. He won't literally melt the hearts of the others with his fear. The sense is fear is contagious. We don't want these people in the army. Yes.
I'd say before is the reason that he's a rachlai because he was. A was to have his wife.
Right.
That's the reason.
Okay.
That's the reason. Now, today, this doesn't come today. Today they give us a gesture. Even every soldier says, I can't go to war because of the.
So right. They give you a gesture. So, first of all, I don't know exactly how it works nowadays. They had desk jobs back then, to be clear. And the halacha is you don't really get to go home. You have to pave roads, you have to fill in ditches, you have to do civil service. Okay? So they had desk jobs. I don't think in the army, it's not clear, I don't think in the Israeli army nowadays you show up, you go, I'm afraid. They go, okay, we'll put you.
I saw a lie.
No, but I think you have to lie. I think you have to pretend you have a psychological issue.
Yeah, well, no, you know,
extreme fear.
First day down in Gaza in the first intifada.
Yeah.
You're coming. The guy said, if you think you're going to give me a gun, I haven't had a gun for my 3 years in Khovar in the army.
Okay.
And if you give me a gun, it's going to be really bad for everyone.
Okay.
Anybody, and they made him the cook.
That's even worse. Yeah.
Anybody who is afraid to go today, I think they give him a desk job.
Okay, I'm not so sure, but okay.
Whatever it is.
Okay, so what we've seen is
I wouldn't go to war because I was afraid. They would probably give me a desk job.
You already went to war. What are you talking about?
You get a sense that people don't use this, and they're mentioning it kind of like. But if someone has this,
let's not get too carried away. Let's first try to understand halacha, then we'll talk about the implications. What's the mitzvah? So let's look at the Rambam. That's what's supposed to be a shirin. Mitzvah Kuf Tzadi Aleph 191, source 2 says the Rambam. Va'mitzvah ha'Kuf Tzadi Aleph, he shetzivanu shenimna kohen. We're supposed to appoint a kohen, not the kohen gadol, but we choose somebody else.
Sheyochiach la'am tochachat hamilchama. Who chooses this kohen?
We do.
The kahanim or the yam?
It's not clear. You know, it's a better way of asking is whose mitzvah is this? So the sense I have is that it's a mitzvah on all of us to make sure that this thing happens. Much like building the Beis HaMikdash or building a Sanhedrin, you know. Is it specifically you or me? Hard to tell. But before you go to war, there is a mitzvah that, you know, whoever the power group is has to pick a Kohen. Okay, the group from whom this can be chosen is the group of Kohanim. You have to pick Kohen, and he has to castigate, inspire, rebuke the people. V'yachzir mi she'eino ra'uy lehi lachem, and he has to send home anybody who's not worthy of fighting. Im lechul shato, either because there's something wrong with him, his own illness, let's say he's a coward, O ba'avur she'tihiyem machshavto bi'inyan, yechayev lo miyut ha'gvurola milchama. This is a hard thing to translate. I think it means that he doesn't believe in the war. It's almost like the first reference ever to like conscientious objectors.
No, I think his mind is going to be elsewhere. Like you have the.
Oh, you're right. Maybe that's a better one. Shetia Machshav Tobi Inyan. He's worried about his house,
right,
or his grapes.
His wife.
Thank you. So we don't think that he'll be as brave as he should be.
He won't be able to concentrate on the war. He'll
okay.
Be concentrating on something else. His mind is elsewhere.
I'm distracted by my grapes.
Yes.
I just got. I just can't tell you how funny I think that is. There's a guy shooting at you,
well,
and you're like,
well, all his investment is in his vineyard.
Okay.
Really
well, but then you're saying it's not grapes, it's his business.
Well, because he doesn't want to end up with sour grapes.
Okay. Isn't it sour milk? Okay. Now, third line, Vehem hashlosha dvarim shebiera katuv. These are the three sections of the speech that he has to give. He gives a speech and off they go. Says the Rambam, this guy who gives the speech has a title. His name is the Mashuach Milchama, presumably Mashuach because they anoint him, and Milchama because his job relates to war. Okay. Next line.
If they anoint him, he has a different status than a Kohen Gadol.
Correct. Correct. He's the Mashuach Milchama. I agree. V'yomar, fifth line, first word. V'yomar b'tochachto halashon hanizkar batorah. First thing you have to know is it's a formal mitzvah. The Mishnah in Sota asks, the Mishnah has lists of things that have to be said b'lashon HaKodesh and things that can be said in any language. So shockingly, benching, any language. Shema, any language. The speech of the Mashuach Milchama, Lashon HaKodesh. Right? That's a shocking, it's a very formal mitzvah. We would have thought, the text doesn't really matter. You have to get the message across. Mm-hmm. Says the Rambam, and everybody agrees, no. The process matters. The speech that he gives has to be, at least initially, word for word, out of Parshas Ki Tetze. Okay? Then on top of that, the Rambam says, he's allowed, V'yosif al zem ma'amarim, he's allowed to ad-lib afterwards and add things, Ye'oreru ha'am la'milchama, that will inspire the people to go to war, V'yivyein lihistakein binafsham, and will bring them to put their lives at risk when you go to war. It's dangerous. La'azor dat hakel, to support or to help the religion of God, ulis shamran, to defend it, ulihina came, and to take revenge, min hasichalim ba hamafsidim yosher hamedino, and to basically take revenge from or fight against those who undermine religion. Okay, so the Rambam here, he really does make it seem like every war is religious. And maybe that's in fact the case, but he speaks in very, very religious terms. He doesn't say, you know, fight these people who want to kill you. He says, fight these people who don't believe in God, fight these people who don't believe in the true religion. It's just an interesting aside. Okay, so you have another point that I don't know the answer to, but that Achronim discusses. Wait, if the mitzvah is to read from the text in the Torah, so why is the Kohen allowed to add anything to it? Isn't that some form of Baal Tosif? Take another example. Kohanim, when they duchen, after they say the three brachos, Yirach Hashem, Yirach Hashem, Yisah Hashem, if they add another bracha, it's an Issa D'oraisa of Baal Tosif. So a lot of people ask, why here, does the Rambam say that the Mashuach Melchama, after he says these psukim, you know, can talk about how evil these people are and how dangerous they are? And I have not found a good answer.
Well, I say because he finished his pep talk, now he's
Yes, but the Kohen finishes his three brachos, and now he's adding on a fourth bracha. That's an Issur D'oraisa. I don't know. It could be that there's always a mix of the narrow, you know, Maisa HaMitzvah and the ideas behind it. Like, I would think that after you say all these things, to say, by the way, these are the people who raided Ma'alot and slaughtered, you know, little children. You know, that works.
Yes. It's more of a pep
talk. I just don't know how you... It's not clear to me halachically how you distinguish between certain mitzvahs and other mitzvahs in order... Unless, you know, at the end he says, okay, that's the end of the formal part of the program. Now, you know, let's talk chop. Don't know. That's probably right. Let's go on. A little more than halfway, in the middle. V'hu amaro yitbarach, our psukim that we read. V'haya kikarav chemala milchama v'nigash hakoein, and he says these things. V'achar kein yitzaveh lehachriz b'ma'arachot. Ma'arachot is like actually the actual war formation. So he announced, he tells them to speak in the formations. Hachayel sheyashuvu chalushe halivavot. Now you get to the bad part, which is the cowards go home. V'chol mi shabana bayit chadash v'lo chanacha o shana takarim v'lo chilo o she'eras yisha v'lo lekacha kimo shaba lashon ha-katuv v'u amor yitbarach v'dibru ha-shotrim amru bigmar ha-sota v'dibru ha-shotrim kohen medaber v'shoter mashmiya. Another fascinating idea. The Torah makes it sound like the Mashuach Milchama makes the first part of the speech, and then these people, the Shotrim, the policemen, show up and make the rest of the speech. Chazal say, the Gemara says, no. They're just like the loudspeaker. He speaks, and then these people repeat everything he says loudly. Vizekulo kilomar tochachat Mashuach Milchama v'hahachraza ba'orchei ha-milchama hu chova bimilchemet harishut. Ubahu dinzeh, says the Rambam, you want to know, this din of Mashuach Milchama is a din only in Milchemet HaRishut. And you'll say, okay, makes sense, because we don't want people going home in a Milchemet Mitzvah. You'll see that it's not so simple. But that's the Rambam. Then he says, V'amnam Milchemet Mitzvah Ein bashum davar mizeh Lo tochachat V'lo hachrazah Misota. He says, but with respect to Milchemes Mitzvah, you don't have any of this. That's going to be a problem, but we'll get there soon. Okay, so here you have the Rambam's description of a strange mitzvah saseh min haTorah. Even stranger, because in the Rambam the Sefer Mitzvah, it only applies to Milchemet HaRishus, which we like to think is not a mitzvah. It turns out it is a mitzvah. It's just compared to the thing you say all the time, just because something is described as rishus, it doesn't mean it's optional. It just means as compared, there's a higher level of it. Okay? But let's take a break from the halacha to do a little philosophy and Jewish thought. To that we turn to the chinuch in number 3, who says as follows. Shoresh mitzvah zo yadua. The rationale for this mitzvah is well known. Ki bishat milchama tzrichim anshei ha-milchama chizuk. Because before you go to war, you need inspiration. You need to be psyched up. Umipnei sheha adam nishma. Okay, so anybody could do that. Why can't I give a speech? So says the chinuch, a little human insight. Umipnei sheha adam nishma yoter kishehu nichbad. There's a difference between anybody giving the speech and somebody of high standing giving the speech. There's a difference between a regular guy and a Chaver Knesset and a Chaver Knesset and the Rosh Memshalah or the Nasi. So he says the Torah knew that. Therefore, second line, Tzivta HaTorah Lihiyot HaMemuneh Lechazek Bidvarim Tovim Min HaKohanim Sheheim Mivchar Ha'am. Therefore, the Torah said the speech has to be given, and not just by anybody, but by somebody who's from, you know, the select portion of the people. It sounds here like any Kohen could be the Mashuach Milchama. They take a Kohen, he's unique in and of himself, then they anoint him, and the way I understand, they put him maybe in Big Day Kahuna, Now when he stands up in front of them, you know, he's an inspirational figure, right? He's different than other people. Presumably, you know, they don't take some little schlepper who has a stutter or whatever. They take a guy who's going to be inspiring. They put him in the Big Day Kahuna. They give him a title. He's the Mashuach Milchama. It's completely ceremonial. But the whole job is ceremonial. You know, we use the phrase ceremonial to mean without substance. It's not important. But that's not what it meant originally. The ceremony here is the whole mitzvah. It matters. You know, for the people who believe in the monarchy in England, okay, which is obviously going to hell because, you know, he's marrying some divorced black American Jewish woman. But anyway, that's a separate issue.
Jewish. She's not Jewish.
Whatever. Does, and nobody reads the gossip pages here. Everybody's learning all the time. She's probably, I just said that. It doesn't. Maybe she's not Jewish. Maybe she's not black. Maybe she's not American. I'm fine.
Certainly not an actress.
Okay, I have. Anyway, but for people who believe in the monarchy, so yes, it's ceremonial, but it's inspirational, but it matters. And here, that's all we're after. Okay?
Is there a time when it's the king that appoints the person who's going to be head of the army?
So head of the army is always appointed by the king.
Times when there's a king.
Yeah, for sure. David HaMelech chose who should be the head of his army.
Chief of state.
All kings do. Fine. Yeah, but I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know who chooses the Mashiach Milchama. It's not exactly clear who chooses him.
The Kohanim among themselves. They pick the.
How do you know?
Prima mita pares. First among equals.
Yeah, but how do you know?
It's obvious.
Okay, I don't know.
How would you do
it? I don't know.
You're not a Kohen.
Yeah, I'm not. You're right. Okay, so therefore he has to be, he's the Mashiach Milchama. V'ha'inyan, end of the third line in the middle. V'ha'inyan, lihiyot, what's the point? Lihiyot machzirin min ha'milchama, to return from the war, mi shenata kerem v'lo achal mimenu. O eras isha velo lekacha o bana bayit velo shachan bo v'chein, and look what he does here, hayarei me'averot shebiyado. What did the pasuk say? Go back to the first source. What did the last pasuk in the first source say? Right, hayarei v'rachanibo. How did I translate it without any objection from a crowd that loves to object? Coward. He's afraid to go to war. Says the Chinuch, and we'll see, it's a machlokas atanaim, but we'll note it here. The Chinuch says, no, that's not what it means. It means hayarei me averot shebiyado. It's not so much. Now maybe you could argue that it's not so different, right? When you go into war and the person you're most relying on is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so maybe hayarei me'averot shebiyado, a person who's afraid because he's a sinner, doesn't believe that God will save him, because he doesn't think that he's done enough to be worthy of God's protection. Maybe the answer is, when Yehoshua ben Nun goes to battle, he goes to battle with the confidence that he has devoted his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to go to war, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him. Whereas, you know, me, a schlepper from Efrat, you know, who doesn't go to Minyan that often and doesn't give tzedakah and doesn't learn, and you know,
why don't you?
What?
No. He'd rather go to war.
Okay, so maybe, but okay, it's a joke, but it's not, because there are moments in my life where I feel that I'm more worthy of God's protection, maybe I shouldn't be so honest, and moments where I'm less worthy. You know, sometimes when a bad thing happens to you and you think, that's not fair. You know, I've tried so hard, I'm doing so, you know, shouldn't God help me with this? And sometimes a bad thing happens to you, and you think to yourself, yeah, I probably deserve it. It depends on you. You have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, you know, you're at different points in your relationship, and sometimes you really feel like he owes it to you. So, it may not be that different, but we'll come back to that.
He's not linking the two groups. He's not saying these three are related.
No, in fact, I would say the opposite. If you say it's hayarei me'averot shebiyado, that really makes it of a completely different type than bayit, isha, and kerem. That's what I think.
There's a lot of war stories in Tanakh. I don't think I recall a single story of this situation of a Mashiach.
Okay, I don't know.
They could have had it, and it's such a
a very dramatic event, make a movie out of it, but there's no scene into not describing this.
Okay.
Usually you would get the exemption up front before you leave your house. You wouldn't have to go and hear the speech and then get exempt.
But the senses you get, and when you read around the senses you get that you had to go.
Yeah.
It's like Lahavdil Elef Alfi Abdullah. So, you know, Charedim have to go to the draft office. They're not going to war. But they're forced to go through that first part. The real sense I get in the Rambam, at least, and in the Mishnayos as well, is that no, you gotta go, and then you leave, and we'll see why in a second, or eventually, if we have time. Second line, Gam zeh hadavar ra'uy v'kasher. It also, he says, this too of the cowards or the irreligious people going home, ki kol elu b'nei adam chalushim ma'od mivog b'milchama. Because these people are too weak or too distracted or too terrified to go to war. They'll be distracted by the things that were described in the Pasuk. And they will distract their friends. V'lo yimas et levav echav, that he shouldn't melt the hearts of his friends. V'chein hayarei me'averosh biyado. Similarly, a person who's afraid of sinning, that he sinned, ra'uy lahachziro pen yisafu acherim ba'avono. Right? If I'm in the foxhole next to a Michal Shabbos, I think to myself at some point, you know, God might not protect him, and I'm right next to him. You know, if God's aim isn't perfect, you know, something bad. V'chol da'kei Torah yosher ve'emunah. All the ways of the Torah are true and just. The sense you get here is, if it wasn't the ceremonial part, okay, that's a mitzvah. But this, who do these rules on our own? Because it's hard to go to war. You know, the sense that somebody is there going, this is a stupid war. I don't know what we're doing here. You know, that's eventually why we left Lebanon. Right? If you can have a consensus, if the people fighting don't believe in what you're fighting for, it's really hard to win. And you get this sense in the chinuch that you need everybody to be all in. And if they're not all in, bad things happen. Okay, now, let's come back to the question we asked at the beginning. Is this a din in Milchames Mitzvah, Milchames HaRishus, or both? So we already saw that the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah said this is a din that applies to Milchames HaRishut, not to Milchames Mitzvah. First thing is, let's just have a working definition of Milchemet HaRashut versus Milchemet Mitzvah. Look in number 4, says the Rambam in the first parak in the first halacha of the fifth parak of Hilchos Malachim. Ein HaMelech Nilcham Techila Ela Milchemet Mitzvah. A king can only, at first, can only enter into Milchemet Mitzvah. Ve'ezehu Milchemet Mitzvah. What is the definition of a Milchemet Mitzvah? Zo. 1. Milchemet Shiva Amamim. That's to conquer all of the biblical land of Israel against the seven nations. Milchemet Amalek.
The seven nations aren't there anymore.
Yes, presumably it would still apply because it's still. It depends how you read it. The Rambam, when we talked about wiping out the seven Amim, it seemed like in the Rambam you didn't have to go to Italy if that's where they moved to. So the sense you get, it's just a means to an end, although, to be fair, the other approach was that they're evil. Because that's the case with the next example, Milchemet Amalek. That has nothing to do with geography. There's nothing to do with, well, Amalek's living in Tel Aviv, we've got to get rid of them. That's, we go to Italy if we have to get rid of them. Okay? And then the catch-all, Ve'ezrat Yisrael Miyad Tsar Sheba Aleihem. And saving the Jewish people from an enemy who has come against them.
Defensive war.
Right. So defensive war, but I you know, again, when I read this, just for myself, I think Six-Day War. Where, clearly, we fired the first shot, but what's the difference? You know, we were facing, you know, extermination, no question. Like, in my mind, that's so easy. Obviously, the Yom Kippur War was completely different. What?
That was a mitzvah.
But that's a heter for an individual.
But it could be the same heter could be for the.
Good, but we don't need a heter. Here's a mitzvah, right? There's no mitzvah. It's not an atarig mitzvah. Bo lahargacha hashkim lahargo. The Torah says it's okay to kill him. You don't. You know, before you kill the guy, you don't say hinini muchem zulun kaim mitzvah sasei shel, right? You just kill the guy. But before the war, you could say hinini muchem.
The whole war is because,
yes,
because the
you're absolutely right. There's obviously two parts to it. One is common sense. There's no country in the world that can exist if it's not willing to defend itself. Except maybe Switzerland, and that's going to go soon also, in my humble opinion. But fine. First we'll get the chocolate. Then they'll go. Okay.
Get the bags.
Anti-Semites. Okay, fine. So, Ezrat Yisrael Miyad Sar Shaba Aleihem. That's what turns nowadays our wars into a Melchamet Mitzvah, in my opinion, because they are completely defensive wars, and if we don't fight them, we're dead. That's Milchamet Mitzvah. Then he says, Va'achar kach nilcham b'milchamet harishut. Then the king can enter into, let's call them optional or non-mandatory wars. What are these? Vihi hamilchama shenilcham im sha'ar ha'amim kidei laharchiv gvul Yisrael ulaharbot begaduto v'shimo. Yeah, these are wars where we want to expand our boundaries, or, you won't like this, to increase the prestige of the king, to increase the name of the Jewish people, to make us a world power. Don't know. Okay? Those are all Milchamet HaRishut. Good. Now, let's see how that applies to our halacha. Says the Rambam in Source 5, the first halacha in the 7th parak of Hilchos Malachim, and it is absolutely inconsistent with what the Rambam has said till now. Echad Milchamet Mitzvah ve'echad Milchamet HaRishut, in either case, Mimanin kohen lidaber el ha'am bishat ha'milchama. We appoint a kohen to speak to the people before they go to war. Umoshchin oto b'shemen ha'mishcha, and they anoint him with a special anointing oil. V'zehu hanikra mashuach milchama, and this guy is called the mashuach milchama. So, who wants to point out the obvious?
Yes.
Here the Rambam says it applies both to Milchamet HaRashut and Milchamet Mitzvah. In the end, in the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam says, oh, this only applies to a Milchamet HaRashut, not to a Milchamet Mitzvah. So
maybe the rules that you go home are just...
Excellent. So let's look at the Ravid right here. The Aleph stands for Omar Avram, because his name was Avraham
in David.
Ben David, so he always starts with Aleph Aleph. Amar Avram, Efshar lihiyot ze liinyan al yerach levavchem. Says the Ravid, it could be that when the Rambam says that this applies to both, it means it's talking about al yerach levavchem. Aval liinyan hashaar hachozrim meorchel milchama lo neemar. Ela lemilchemet harishut, avalo lemilchemet mitzvah. V'hachi ita bigmara. Says the Ravid, maybe you have to distinguish between the different parts, and maybe when the Rambam says that this mitzvah applies both to milchemet harishut and milchemet mitzvah, he doesn't mean all three parts. He means the first speech. Again, flip back to number one. He means the encouragement, right? The psycha part, the first paragraph of number one, where he gets up and says, "You're going out to fight for the war for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to support you." Like we said, why wouldn't you say that for a Milchamet Mitzvah?
You probably need it in any war.
Good. Agree completely. So he's suggesting that, but the part that doesn't apply would be the exemptions. That in the case of a Milchamet Mitzvah, you can't get it. There's no coward exemption. There's no grapes exemption. There's no house exemption. There's no wife exemption. Everybody goes. Okay? It would be better if the Rambam had said this himself. You know, it really does seem like a steer in Rambams. We hate to fall back on what scholars say when you can't get out of it is, well, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvot first. It took him, I don't know, 11 years to then write the Yad HaChazak. By the way, just because it's fascinating, the Sefer HaMitzvot really is the introduction to the Yad HaChazak. Just imagine this. When the Rambam sat down to write the Yad HaChazak, you know what he had in front of him?
The Baal.
The Yad HaChazak.
You know what he had in front of him? A blank piece of paper. With respect to the Sefer HaMitzvos, he had a Baha'i. With respect to the Yad HaChazaka, nobody had done anything like this before. So in the Rambam's own writing, you know, he sits down, just think, forget the substantive knowledge. You need to be able to classify, how do you know if you missed anything? So the Rambam says, when I sat down to do it, I realized, the first thing I have to do is write a Sefer HaMitzvos. Because then I'll have 613 mitzvahs in front of me. Then I could decide, okay, they break down into these categories, into these subcategories. Then I'd have some framework within which to work. Okay? So, you could, although no, I don't like to say it either, you could say, yeah, the Rambam changed his mind from the Sefer HaMitzvahs to the Yad HaChazaka. But this seems so obvious that I just think, you know, the other thing you play with is the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic, so maybe the problem's in the translation. But the bottom line is the Rambam seems to say in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that this mitzvah only applies to a milchemet harashut. In the Yad HaChazaka, he makes it very clear that it applies to all kinds of wars. And probably the answer is, when the Rambam said that it applies only to milchemet harashut, when he said that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he meant the exemption part, but not the charge to be brave. Okay, now.
So the defense, sorry to take you away from your subject matter, but the defense of the Haredim about they are Shevet Levi and therefore they don't have to fight and so on and so forth.
Yeah, nonsense. Okay, fine. But nice try. Okay.
Well, look, if we did this today, they'd throw the coin out and arrest him.
Okay, let's look.
Well,
they would certainly block traffic.
The officer who would get up and
we're afraid of going to war. We're not afraid of vehicular homicide. Okay, fine. Now,
we've always been involved
in it. If you made it a religious component, they'd throw you out of the army.
Okay, now let's. We've done it out of order. Let's read certain Mishnais in Sota that talk about our issue, just because they're fascinating. Look at number 6.
Well, says, that's what the source is.
What?
It's not the source of HaMachos.
Of course. But I'm saying, sometimes we work backwards. But it's rare to have such explicit Mishnayos about a mitzvah. Here there are. There's many of them. I just grabbed parts of 3. First Mishnah in Perichet of Sota. Mashuach milchama. Bisha'ah shemidaber el ha'am. Bilashon HaKodesh Hayamidaber. First thing says the Mishnah, he had to speak Hebrew. Okay, I get fascinated because you just think, like in 48, a lot of people didn't speak Hebrew. Shene'emar, V'haya kikar avchem al ha-milchama, V'nigash ha-kohen, Zeh kohen mashuach milchama. You ask yourself, how do we know that the kohen referred to as the mashuach milchama? Because the Mishnah says so. V'diber el ha'am, what does that mean? B'lashon HaKodesh. Presumably it could have said V'amar. They dash from V'diber la'am in Hebrew. V'amar aleihem Shema Yisrael Atem Krevim Hayom Aloi Vechem. Right? What does it say Aloi Vechem? I asked at the beginning. What does it keep saying Aloi Vechem? V'lo al Achechem. The Mishnah says as follows. Lo Yehuda al Shimon. This isn't a civil war. This is an intramural skirmish. V'lo Shimon al Binyamin. She'im naflu biyadam yirachamu aleichem. The Mishnah goes on, I skipped it because it was too long. The Mishnah goes on to describe when they had a civil war between Yehuda and Shomron, Yehuda and Yisrael, when they captured each other, they like made him, you know, gourmet breakfasts and they gave him good clothes. You know, like to be a prisoner of other Jews is a great thing. Says the Mashuach Milchama, that's not who you're fighting. When they take you captive, you know, they're not putting you in a hotel. It's bad. Aloi veichem atem holchim. She'im tiplu bi'adam ein merachamim aleichem. There's no mercy here. So therefore, al yerach levavchem al tiruv al tachpzu. Don't be afraid. Ki Hashem alokechem aleichem ochem hein ba'in benitzchano shel basar v'adam va'atem ba'in benitzchano shel makom. Remember who you're fighting for, remember who they're fighting for. Okay, I skipped a bunch. 5th Mishnah. V'yasfu ha-shotrim l'daber el ha'am. This is when they say, mi ha'ish ha-yarei v'rach ha-leva. Who's afraid?
Did they say, be afraid to also, the Lashon HaKodesh?
Yeah, presumably. And now you have the following, famous machlokas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ha-yarei v'rach ha-levav, kumashma'o. Exactly as we read it originally. What does it mean?
She'eino yachol la'amod b'kishrei ha'milchama. He can't stand up to the tension of war. V'lirot cheref shlufa. He can't see an outstretched sword. He can't see a gun. He's frightened. Rav Yossi Haglili Omer Hayare Varach Halevav Zehu Hamityare Min Ha'averot Shebiyado. It's religious. Lefikach Taltal Lo HaTorah Et Kol Elu Sheyachzor Biglalan. Says Rav Yossi, it's different. It's not so much that he's a coward, it's that he's not frum enough. And in Rav Yossi's reading, as expanded on in the Gemara, but I didn't quote it on the sheet, it says follows. The Torah wants to give cover to this guy. When you go, who's afraid of going to war? No one goes, me. So first they say, okay, there are four categories that allow you to go home. House, wife, grapes, you're a sinner. The sinners can hide amongst the, you know, house, wife, grapes thing by saying, you know, no one wants to admit that they're a coward, and or no one wants to admit that they're a sinner. The Torah here is giving the guy a way out. Now, I want to suggest something that's probably not true, but who knows? If the Torah is giving you a way out, but you have to say, well, I just got married, a lot of people will know that you're lying. Right? You're 40 years old, you have 6 kids, you know, you didn't just get married, okay?
Just so
I just built a house. Like, it's objective. I think the grapes thing, you know, you could lie about. No, guy says, you didn't build a vineyard. Yeah, behind in the other field, you didn't see, you know. I suspect that the grapes thing is the cover for the cowardly people, for the people who are afraid of Averot B'Adam. Now, there are fascinating machlokasim about what Avera are you worried about? And it's the entire range. One of the shitos, and you know, whoever this applies to, one of the shitos is what Avera hasach bein tfilin shel yad le tfilin shel rosh. A person who talks between tfilin shel yad and tfilin shel rosh. Now the good news is none of us haven't Yetzahara to talk between Tfilin Shel Yad and Tfilin Shel Rosh. We just have a Yetzahara to talk, and sometimes it happens then. But no one has to overcome their urge.
No one does it then. After the tournament.
Bruce, you can't go 5 minutes without talking.
I have a problem. I talk after I go on Tfilin. After.
Good. Yeah. But that's it. You think that's mitzvah.
So I'm exempt. Okay. I'm exempt from fighting.
No, it's between. It's between.
Yeah,
but
there's not enough time.
The entire range, all I'm pointing out is like the range of Averos that you could be worried about. Yeah. Like if you asked me, I would have said Avodah Zarah, I don't know, Shabbos. Right? There's a huge range. But the bigger point here is, I think, you know, whether you look at this as, I don't want to say secular, but you know, why wouldn't you say to yourself, according to Rabbi Akiva, okay, I'm a coward, but God's going to fight for me. So therefore, everybody should go to war. Rabbi Yossi makes more sense to me in that God's not going to fight for me because I'm a sinner and I'm not entitled to that kind of protection. It really, you know, the question is how much do you turn the whole war into religious or not? Maybe that plays out also in Milchemes Mitzvah and Milchemes HaRishus. Right? You know, I'm calling Milchemes Mitzvah, everybody goes. Why? Because God's protection has to be over all of us, otherwise we're going to be wiped out. Milchemes HaRishus, maybe only, you know, Tzadikim go, because otherwise God won't help us. Now, let's just do the last Mishnah. And here you see why it can't be much of a machlokas, because it's a Beferish Mishnah. Bameh Devarim Amurim. With respect to what case are we talking about, that somebody could go home from war? B'milchemet harishut, in a non-mandatory war. Aval b'milchemet mitzvah, hakol yotzin, afilu chatan mechedro, v'kala mechupata. Everybody goes to milchemes mitzvah, even from your chuppah, even the wife, presumably not to say something crazy, even from kolal. I'm just saying, I can't say for sure, because maybe they're Levim, or which, by the way, also seem to go, but fine. But the point is, you know, it's all hands on deck. And there's a bigger point. Why all hands on deck? Why aren't we worried about other people undermining the morale? Right? The Chinuch made a good case. for you don't want some certain people going to war because penyi mas, right? I think the answer is when in a milchemes mitzvah you have no choice. No one could undermine the cause of the war because the cause of the war is so clear, either because God told you to, or because these people are massing on your border and they're lobbing missiles at you, and you have no choice. But nobody, I don't care how big a leftist you are, I don't care how big a Melchal Shabbos you are, I don't care how many grapes you want to eat. The short answer is, it's all hands on deck, and nobody could undermine the cause of that war. Okay? Fascinating stuff. 3 seconds over.
Thank you, Rabbi Elliott. See you next week.
There's no war. I mean,